Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man who needs no introduction, wearing a crown heads hat.
Yeah, dude, throwing it back.
The captain.
Throwing it back.
Jack Barry.
It's all about
been
the scars,
a hot
dude.
Minute since
all
I
about
have
the scars,
smoked a
dude.
Crown's head.
Dude. Crown
when's
heads.
The last time, when's the last time you smoked a crown head?
Had it been 2020.
Afghanistan?
2020. No, 2020.
2020.
I feel like 2020, somewhere around there. It may have been even sooner than that.
Yeah. We might have to make crown head one of the months.
Is there a month that starts with C, though?
There's That's not. The we thing. Might have to break that just for crown head, though. Like, yeah. I haven't, man, I don't even know where I can find crown heads right now.
It's very like, whew. I remember they carried them at Thunderbird. This is going really deep. This is only for like people in Washington State right now. Especially the West side. They carried them at Thunderbird for a little bit and then they said, nope, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, dang it. And then I literally can only find them when I like go visit my family in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because my uncle and aunt live like right down the, like literally 5 minutes away from like this great little cigar lounge called Robusto and Briar in Lakewood, Ohio.
That's a dope name.
Dude, it is fantastic. They have like a pretty good, they have a lot of crown heads. They do a lot of crown heads events. And I remember I was like just introducing, mind you, my uncle's like 50s, 60s probably. And I was introducing him to like cigars for the first time. This is like back in like maybe like 2018.
Yeah.
And this is when like an exclusive of theirs came out. This was when they were doing like the state series. So they had like Tennessee. What else did they have? They had Texas and they had Ohio.
Yeah.
They had Buckeye Land for Ohio. And I got a box of that and I smoked that and I loved it. And my uncle, I thought he was going to keel over and die once he started to smoke that cigar. It was so strong. It was so strong for him. Awesome. Like, this is probably not the good go-to first cigar you should probably
not
have.
Not where you should start.
Probably start off some Connecticut's first. How about that? He's like, okay,
sure.
we'll do that.
We'll do that.
So, sounds good. Crown Heads, dude. Yeah. Great brand.
Great brand, for sure.
Great cigars.
For sure.
So.
Jack, how was your Lord's Day, dude?
It was good. We had... obviously, second week in Advent, we are going through Hebrews chapter 1.
Okay.
And doing Advent series called What Child Is This?
Love it.
So it's like, trying to remember, there's four basic, it's like, I mean, every Advent series has four basic understandings or knowledges of who Jesus is, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Today was Jesus is the radiance of God.
Oh, okay.
So what does that look like? But I mean, Hebrews, especially that first five verses, like there is a lot of core doctrinal stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's being said in those first five verses of that first chapter in the Epistle to the Hebrews.
Absolutely.
That speaks to us now more than ever. So yeah. I think last week we were definitely talking about how God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his son. So what does that look like? But yeah, this Lord's Day, we went through the radiance of God. So usually how I do Lord's Day stuff too, is I usually serve communion and we have five communion tables. So usually we have probably a dozen people around a communion table, and guys like myself or another leader or another community group leader or mm-hmm. a deacon or mm-hmm. maybe even a pastor elder will serve communion. And I usually read a subsequent scripture that kind of riffs off of the scripture that's being preached.
Yeah.
So there's a flow to it when they come right. to the communion table.
Right.
So I usually do that. So when I'm listening to the sermon, I'm looking on my phone at other scriptures.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to have that continuance of mm-hmm. Thought come to them
right.
when they're coming to communion. So
yeah.
But yeah, yeah, I usually do communion, and then the third week of the month, I do security team lead. We kind of talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing on Sundays what's called the gospel welcome. I don't know.
Okay.
Different churches do different things, but when we welcome people into church, we usually sing, it's a call to worship, and then we do one song. Mm-hmm. And then we do something called the gospel welcome. Like, why are we here at church?
Right.
Like, this is why we're here at church. And it was basically a amended version of what they would say every morning at 10th Avenue Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
So, James Montgomery Boyce would say Ooh. Something to the effect of what we do every Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So, and now I'm doing that on the Sunday before Christmas.
Right.
So the last Lord's Day before yeah. Christmas. And then we've been having families come up and doing the lighting of the candles, the Advent candles.
Oh, you guys are going all out. I like
oh,
it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nice. We're going full meal deal here.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I have to introduce the family. I have to do the gospel welcome.
Yeah.
Then introduce the family, I'm assuming, because this yeah. is what I'm seeing week in, week out. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, okay, I probably have to do that. Mm-hmm. And then probably have to do something else. But yeah,
yeah.
It's good. There's yeah. Sometimes it's a lot.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For guys who are in leadership, you know that. But we kind of introed in on the fact that we're trying to bring another Afghan brother over. So
Oh yeah.
So we're trying
to find him housing.
Yeah. So yeah. he's stuck in Malaysia.
Okay.
And Malaysia is terrible to be a refugee. Like, you can't work there at all.
Oh man. Okay.
And so he's been stuck there since before the pandemic, I think since 2019.
Oh, goodness.
And doesn't have any family. His family was murdered by the Taliban.
Oh, no.
He has a brother who, when they split up and left the country, his brother went to Sweden and got citizenship there.
Okay.
And he went down to Malaysia to go to school initially. And then he went to school, but it's like so tough because he has this refugee status. So the guy, sure. so the family and the guy that we brought over from Afghanistan, his name's Karimi.
Yeah.
He knew him because he met him at this school that they went to, and mm-hmm. it's for like electrical conduit, something. I can't remember.
Okay.
Karimi is an electrician. I know that he does substation stuff.
Yeah.
And he got hired on at a company, actually a guy through our local church as well too, hired him.
Nice.
And so we're trying to bring him over. I'm trying to use my vet card. This is the only time that I will use my vet card.
That's not the only time. Oh, please.
So there is a organization that basically, if you're trying to bring somebody over who's a mm-hmm. refugee, you basically need like a five-person team to have to vet them, to basically, you're trying to, what the government wants is like a support system so they don't fail when they come over to the United States, right?
Sure, sure.
So it's myself and like a few others from our church that have done this before. And the kicker is that the organization that is giving, hopefully can help us, says if you had a veteran on your welcome team, you could possibly get that refugee like $14,000 in like money for them to come over and get housing and all this other stuff.
Look at like, you. Jack's bringing the gravy train. Gravy train.
So,
all right.
So we introduced kind of that initiative. We kind of already have the minimum amount that he would need already.
And then like, I'm assuming the idea is to like get these guys integrated into the church. Like once you bring them over, right? Like,
yeah. Karimi is already, he's been with us for, I mean, the only thing that he has to do is like membership basically. And that's it.
Yeah.
But he's been a Christian for, I think since 2017, 2018.
Wow. That's cool.
So in a I mean, his whole family is Muslim. It's just very tough.
Yeah.
There's a nonprofit in the Western Washington, Seattle area that kind of is helping a lot of like Muslim outreach, which is helpful. There's another guy, him and his mom and his sister left Afghanistan and he lives in Tacoma.
Yeah.
And we talked to him quite a bit. I actually support him financially, but his name is Cesar. Cesar is a really cool guy, but yeah, it was, I mean, his family was actually believers. So he was raised in a Christian family in Afghanistan, which is like the most rarest of rare. So,
yeah,
cool stuff.
That's like, I think, I mean, that it's stuff like that that I see, because look, I mean, there's so much debate, political debate these days, right? Oh, yeah. On refugees and people coming into the country, things like that. Right. And I think what can often kind of get lost is how we're supposed to be, I think, as the church, bringing these individuals into the church. Because look, right, obviously I have my opinions politically, but when it comes to being a Christian, right, I want these people to know Jesus, right? And the fact that you guys are utilizing the resources that you have to bring people in that are in a very dangerous position and then integrating them into your church. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. And that's something that like, I haven't heard, like, I think you guys were kind of, when you started telling me about your local church doing that, I was like, huh, that's not something that I had ever really heard of before. I know tons of churches probably do it. But being that place and that refuge as saying like, okay, we're going to help you get over here. We're going to get you sponsored. We're going to get you, try to help you find, obviously I'm assuming housing and work and stuff like that, but then let's integrate you into the church. Let's actually bring you in to our local body as a brother and sister. I think it's a beautiful thing, man. And I'm sure it's full of a lot of difficulties and really hard stories like that guy. It's his entire family. It's just him. He's coming over solo. He has no one left.
Yep.
Because his family got killed by the Taliban. Like, good gracious. Like, it does not get any harder than that.
Yeah, be praying for that, because even though some guys who've come over have green cards and they're pretty much good to stay here, a lot of the deportation language is still kind of scaring them.
Oh, sure.
So it's making them a little bit fearful. And so we don't know what that's going to look like for this particular guy that we're trying to bring over. We're just praying that everything is good on our application.
Right.
You know, we already have one guy who's already gone through this as well. And so we're kind of leaning on him to be like, who's the dentist you saw? Where did you go to the Social Security office? You know, which place did you do that? So before it was, we went through a different organization that did all the heavy lifting.
Right.
Now it's just our church doing all that.
Yeah.
So it's our church saying, hey, you know, we'll drive you over to this appointment and do this to figure this out. We'll do this. We'll help out with, I come in because I'm definitely going to push the apprenticeship side and the trades.
Oh,
it seems
sure.
like, it seems like he's pretty amenable to stuff. Like he's not very picky at all.
Yeah.
Versus when we had Karimi come over, like he had a definite skill set and knowledge, and it's just like, he's got to find a job somewhere. I mean, yeah. There's electricians yeah. everywhere, and he has
I think you're going to start seeing that being the reality when it comes to local church ministry. Is it's going to be more? It's going to be a more in-house, localized thing, right? Yeah. Like I think just with the way culture goes, I don't think it's going to be like tomorrow, but
no,
but I don't know, man. I think kind of like large scale organizations are going to have a harder time kind of thriving in. Not just the economy, but just the like cultural climate, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see more local churches individually pop up and say, okay, this is something that we're going to do. We're going to utilize and leverage the resources and the talents that we have in our local church to fulfill the mission that we're wanting to do. You know, I see that in counseling already, in that you have individual churches starting these ministries as outreach opportunities to their community. You know, because you slap, you know, free counseling on your window, you're going to get no shortage of people, right? Yeah. And I see these types of ministries being done by the local church and people in the local church that have a heart for it. And it's something that I think, I'm not going to say it's necessarily better, but I mean, I might actually say it's better. Like, you know, parachurch organizations, if they're yeah. not linked to a specific local church, I think have inherent flaws with them, you know? Yeah. And the more that we can be localizing those ministries and that outreach and being the hands and feet of Jesus in the local church, I think that's the way that it was designed. That's the way that it should be. Right. Yeah. And I think you might not have the extent of the reach, but I think you'll have the quality, much more quality of reach because of the intentionality that's there.
Yeah. If by some miracle our church starts filling up with Afghan refugees,
yeah,
I think we're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. Yeah.
Because we're not pawning people off to maybe, or at least it doesn't feel like people are being pawned off to a nonprofit.
Yeah. Right.
The local church is doing the heavy lifts.
Yep.
Like the people in the local church are doing those heavy lifts yeah. too.
Well, and you're not just caring for them physically, like getting them out of a dangerous place, getting them work, yeah. getting them right, caring for people in need. You're also making the priority spiritual. Like we're going to continue to help you with this.
But, and disciple you.
And disciple yeah. you. But the expectation yeah. is like you're here. Right. Like yep. we're going to help you, but it's because you're here. It's because you're part of our church. And that's what we do for one another. Right. And yep. that's what like makes the whole nonsense that you see on Twitter and things like that these days just so asinine, is because there's yeah. those out there that would say that because those individuals are a different culture than mine, a different color skin than mine, a different ethnicity than me, then I should be treating them differently. Different than I would the Christians that I grew up around, or the Christians that are
yeah.
like me in those same things. And that's honestly just a very demonic and satanic understanding of yeah. how we as Christians are supposed to interact with one another, right? And, you know, the guys like the Joel Webbins and the, you know, all those guys that are his ilk, all the guys that follow him, and the type of stuff that they're pushing in that realm is really dangerous, and it's really mm-hmm. anti-gospel, and it's something that I think needs to be called out, because that's not what the gospel does. The gospel yep. does not increase the earthly ties or the earthly boundaries that are there. The gospel does away with those, and it creates the unity that's found in the person of Jesus Christ, right? And we see that all through Scripture, right? There's no Jew, there's no Greek, right? There's no slave, there's no free. There is those that are in Christ. And it just seems to just be this pushing away from that if you're not a Christian that is in my same context,
yeah,
then somehow it's right for me to treat you differently and yeah. not have put you on the same priority as I would someone with my same skin color or my same ethnicity. I don't understand the mentality. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so foreign to me
yeah.
to have that type of thinking. And these guys try to justify it and say, well, that's not what we mean. But the problem is, like, they'll say that's not what we mean. And then when you ask, well, what do you mean? Like, you can never pin them down. Like, it's a classic, let's not show our cards so that we can never be called out. Like, if you can always, if you can always backstep and say, you're misrepresenting me, you know, like, always have that card up your sleeve, right? It makes it makes you unable to be held accountable. And that's what we see with these types of guys and these types of arguments.
Well, the danger to, I think this is going to be our final thought for the mini episode, and then we'll go into the other topic.
I know. I mean, this is just a grab bag now, dude. This is a grab bag. We're talking about, we had this an agenda.
Like, this is like Darth Maul's lightsaber, dude.
Yeah.
This is the first side. This is like talking about refugees. And then the other side is our main episode. Yeah. So, but no, I think the danger in the Joel Webbins and, you know, the Brian Suaves, the Eric Kahns, whatever his name is, is like, you're teetering on some, you're flirting with the line between racism and partiality,
right?
And kinism.
Yeah.
And trying to make that the main thing. And you're dancing with it all the time. I see these guys and they're dancing and they're flirting with those ideas all the time. And it's just like, yeah, let's not, let's not do that. Like if our brother has believed in the Lord Jesus and he's been saved by grace through faith and he has been trusting in the Lord, and sure, maybe there's not a whole lot of theology dynamic there, but the fact of the matter is this man's a walking miracle. And a lot of people who came out of Afghanistan are believers.
Sure, sure.
So should we not welcome them or should we relegate them or, you know?
I think it's just an overemphasis. I mean, I think it's an overemphasis on country and family.
Yeah.
I think we have such an affinity in this country toward blood family, which again, in and of itself, is not bad. Like blood family is good. Like we have in scripture commands to take care of your immediate family, right? Scripture says that the man who does not provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever, right? So we have scripture telling us, like, you got to take care of the widows, take care of the orphans, take care of these people, right? But I think there's just this lack of understanding it comes down to, I think, a lack of understanding of the gospel and what the gospel does. And that is, like, that Afghan refugee that comes into the local church that is a brother in Jesus Christ, I have more in common with him. I have more unity with him than I do my own blood family.
Yeah.
And if you disagree with that, if you don't like that, if that gets an ire out of you, I would humbly suggest that you do not understand the gospel. You don't understand what the gospel does. You don't understand how powerful the effectual blood of Jesus Christ is. Because the blood of Jesus Christ takes enemies and makes them brothers. It takes people that have nothing in common and it unites them with the strongest bond that exists, and that's the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. And to say otherwise is to make less of the gospel, less of the blood of Jesus Christ, less of the unity that we're called to have as believers, and it elevates an earthly relationship that's not going to last. There will be no earthly brothers or sisters in heaven. There'll be no mothers or fathers in heaven. There'll be no husbands and wives in heaven. Right? Scripture tells us that the unity that we have in Christ is stronger than those things, right? So I just think that there's just this very narrow-minded understanding of the gospel and how the gospel should be viewed in our life, how it should be applied in our life. And again, people take it to extremes because, you know, there'll be people that listen to this and be like, well, you're just ashamed for being white and you don't love your family. And I'm just like, no, that none of that's true. Right. Like, I have a responsibility to care for my family and I do that. I do that very well. right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I then see that as my primary relationship, because it's not.
Yeah. I think that, well, I mean, this is like the metaverse of episodes.
Dude, it's a grab bag. I don't know what's going to happen after we talk about this. It's going to be something completely different.
Yeah. We'll probably do cigars just to tick Ed off. So
yeah. You ain't getting out of it, Ed.
Yeah.
You're going to take the cigar and smoke it and like it.
There's a lot of controversy, kind of what you're talking about. How the gospel applies to all forms of life, right? Yeah. There was a hugely controversial article in the New York Post. I wouldn't say controversial, but basically in the New York Post that said, Orthodoxy is having a moment right now. Eastern Orthodoxy is having a moment, and okay, young men are fueling it. So basically they interviewed a whole bunch of converts over to Eastern Orthodoxy who are young, probably within their 20s restless. And 30s, young, restless Orthodox.
And Orthodox.
Man, do I got a story for them. But their conversion is way more hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I feel like the Mars Hill stuff and the Young Restless Reform Movement was like just, it pales in comparison to this, because in Orthodoxy, it is, okay, literally like the priests who are mm-hmm. overseeing the Orthodox churches that they're seeing a lot of, and mostly it's in Southern California.
Yeah.
A lot of young men are saying that their evangelical churches, or maybe even their Catholic churches, are becoming too liberal, surprisingly enough.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, and I mean, yeah, the Catholic Church has been on that bandwagon for years now.
And the language that they're using is, you know, my church, it felt like I was on sand. Felt like everything was changing.
Sure, sure.
So
yeah,
there was a lot of interesting stuff in that regards. And then what was interesting in regards to like how the gospel relates to all life, a lot of young men were saying, well, in Orthodoxy, you're given a pathway to pray and fast and do all these things. So it's applying to all your life.
Sure.
But I'm like, but that's not the job of the church. Like the church is essentially like kind of like your tabernacle, but it doesn't take the place of Jesus or the gospel.
Right.
And right. I feel like
it's where the gospel is lived out.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of these young men are just very confused in that a lot of the institutions they put their trust in were just crumbling and failing. And so they went to Orthodoxy and said, okay, maybe there's something ancient and wise there. But the problem too in that is that Orthodoxy, like new converts who come into Orthodoxy, they don't play. They come in there and literally it's like heresy, truth. And usually a lot of the priests will write down, okay, what is something that you are coming into Orthodoxy, the Orthodox Church, and you have carried with you this whole time, you know, as a Protestant or evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
And they will eviscerate that.
Right.
They'll say, what is it? Is it, you know, your view on atonement? Yeah, that's heresy. This is actually the truth. So, like, they will straight up, like, eviscerate. They don't play. Like, literally, there is no, like, to the Orthodox Church, like us Protestants are not on the same level as they are. Like us Protestants are not their brothers in the Lord.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And if people don't understand that, if people don't understand that kind of, I wouldn't say even partiality or favoritism, I would say like supremacy kind of concept.
Right. Right.
Then the Orthodox Church will basically alienate you to every other believer that you know in your life.
Well, and I think there's something attractive about that too, because like I look at the reason why, you know, because I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I'm not going to say that I have it all fleshed out in my head. Mm-hmm. So bear with me as I,
It's a grab bag episode, right?
So bear with me as I sawed off shotgun buckshot some thoughts here, right? I think one of the reasons that you have such a flock of primarily young men running to this type of stuff. And look, even in our own, well, I'm not going to say our own camp because they're not in our own camp, but like run into the Joel Webbins and things like that, is it is a response. It's a response to the culture that we live in that says there is no truth. Do whatever you want to. Men can be women. Women can be men. Right. And all of this crap that's out there, people are looking for something solid. They're looking for something real and that has a foundation. Right. And I think the reason you see so many young men running to things like Eastern Orthodoxy and even Anglicanism. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Is there's a history there. And look, we've even seen a bump in confessional reformedom as well. Like confessionalism is on the rise right now.
Hey.
It is. I mean, let's go. Right. Right. Dispensationalism is starting to kind of fall off in terms of its popularity, and confessionalism is actually on the rise. Now, the frustrating thing is you have a lot of guys saying that they're confessional, that they're actually not, and leading a bunch of young guys astray into more Christian nationalism junk. Right.
Yeah.
But I look at like just even in the secular culture, right? You look at guys like Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Jocko
Willink.
Yes, is it Willink or
Willink? Yeah,
or
I think it's
Willink.
No, it's Jocko Willink.
Okay, all right, Jocko. What's the runner guy? Goggins, right?
David Goggins,
right? Who's going to carry the boats? Who's going to carry the lugs, right? That's a deep cut that reformatory so dude. Dumb. Who's going to carry the boats? OGs will remember that one. But they all represent this ancient stoicism. Stoicism is on the rise in our culture today, and it is becoming very, very popular with the younger crowd because of the blatant antithetical views that it has toward our modern culture, right? Mm-hmm. In that stoicism is very much, if it feels good, it's bad, right? You need to be like
disciplined, the
captain of your ship, right? Ice baths every day, right? Right? Things like this, where again, there are aspects of stoicism in terms of the need to be self-disciplined and things like that are biblical concepts, but the problem is it's void of the gospel, right? Yeah. So you have a flock of men and women going toward the Jocko Willings, the Joe Rogans, the Jordan Petersons, the Goggins, because they're providing and saying something that is not what the culture is spewing, right? Yeah. The problem, again, is that it's just another thing. It's just another fad. It's a pendulum swing, and it's not going to fill the void, right?
Yeah.
And I think you have guys that view the church like that as well, which is why like they want something deeper. They know they want something deeper. There's that innate yearning that they have for something that's real, something that's foundational, something that you can trace back, something that isn't, you know, a movement that started in the 1960s, right?
Yeah.
With the whole free love, easy love movement, right? They want something that they can trace back and say, I am in the footsteps of men and women that have been doing this for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years, thousands of years, right? They want that. It's attractive, right? And I understand. I get that. And that's not the reason, but it is a huge reason why I am confessional. Is because I like and I appreciate and I need the understanding that, you know, these truths that I hold are not something that has just been created in the last, you know, couple decades. It's not something that I have thought up on my own. It's something that I can trace back to see men and women have confessed these truths for as long as the truths have been around.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we need to understand that young people today are searching. They're searching for something that's real. They're searching for something that has roots, that has a foundation that's other than public opinion and sand, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to lose them to the Jordan Petersons, who have a lot of very smart things to say, right? Is very very intellectual man. Jordan Peterson is a worldly wise man out of Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah,
he is. And I don't say that as a slight against Jordan Peterson. I want him to come to Christ.
Yeah.
But he has so much. Jordan Peterson, in my opinion, is the perfect example of how far common grace will get somebody. Mm-hmm. He has come, I believe, as far as you can with the observations and the understandings that common grace or natural revelation can get to a person. Yep. And you see in Jordan Peterson how it does not result in salvation because it requires special revelation. It requires the work of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what we need to understand when we go to guys like that is, yeah, he says a lot of things that are true. And a lot of those truths that you can come to from natural revelation, just from this common grace that God has given, but it's not salvific.
Yeah.
And we need to know that these men and these women, especially the younger ones, they're searching. They're coming out of these high schools and these colleges that have filled their mind with such gobbledygook, and they're looking for something that's real. That needs to be the gospel. Yeah. It needs to be the church. That's what we need to be, the ones that show, hey, the things that you're looking for, it's found in the deep, rich history of the gospel, right?
Yeah.
And we'll continue to lose people to the Catholic Church. Well, maybe not so much the Catholic, because, I mean, it's a response out of the Catholic, but Anglicanism and Eastern Orthodoxy and cultural Stoicism, because it's popular and it provides something that the culture does not, right?
Yeah, I think we even, I think
shotgun blast, double barrel shot sawed off.
I think Nick Batsick talked about this too on like, was it with, when I was gone on my hiatus that one time, did he talk about why people were going over?
That sounds super familiar. I'd have to look back. That was a while ago, but
it could have been a different episode or something like that. He might have done that for like Doctrine and Devotion when they were still up and running.
R.I.P.
Go out of business. But I think the thing that I appreciate the most in what God did with me in kind of preparing me for 2020 really is, I think right before I got into seminary, which was 2018-2019, I started to read the early church patristics, and I really started to parse out, because a lot of people, a lot of Eastern Orthodox and Catholic people will say these people are on our team. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is a lot of thought process that comes out of the early church fathers and even all the way up into Augustine, up into like the early Middle Ages, where usually people say John of Damascus in like the 700s is like your last early church father kind of movement. Mm-hmm. A lot of what they talk about in their theology, you can trace back into particular baptism in our circles of how we think about theological concepts. Mm-hmm. And if you test Orthodox people on this sometimes and say, well, Saint Cyprian said this, and it's like, no, I don't care what Cyprian said. Like, this is the Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that they'll do is they will capitulate back to the institution rather than the certain authorities that have led the church in certain times and places and have given certain wisdom.
Sure.
So you really have to parse that out sometimes. Yeah. And a lot of people will freak out. And a lot of people did freak out in 2020 because they started reading ancient writings from early church fathers and stuff like that, making their own assumptions. Mm-hmm. But really the problem was too, is like a lot of these people are coming from a fundamentalist background.
Sure.
And when they get something like this, their mind's blown and their foundation's completely, blown up at that point.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, what am I going to build on now?
Right.
So I remember like just going through 2020 and all that stuff. And I'm like, I really wasn't shaken as far as faith goes, because I'm like, okay, this is really a jarring moment where a lot of people are deconstructing, whatever you want to call it, deconverting, mm-hmm. deconstructing. I would say that some people can deconstruct and then reconstruct their faith. Some people were just letting it all burn to the ground like the
I mean, it depends on what you're deconstructing, right?
Like, I think a lot of that's the question. Goes back, I think a lot of that goes back to, hey, if you were in a fundamentalist church that was teaching crap,
there's a lot to deconstruct. Like, let it burn. Break it down.
There's a lot of things we need to purge.
You know, too many people deconstructed without rebuilding.
There's a lot of new nutritional diet you should be on.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
You were just eating, you know, sugar at that point, and you need more protein and more fiber in your diet, you know?
Amen.
So, but yeah, there's stuff like that that I wasn't really shaken up about, but I know that people are looking for that ancient faith. Mm-hmm. And every time I talk to people, when they get this idea in their head of who the early church fathers were, I'm like, stop. That's not who they were. Like, you got to remember, like, these guys were not the same as you and I were. They were people of their time. Mm-hmm. They were fighting way different issues than we are.
Yeah.
Like, I even look back at, like, our, I think I could say this for Josh and I's, but our particular Baptist ancestors in the faith, the stuff that they were dealing with in those churches, literally, is the most minute stuff. It was literally like, should we sing hymns or should we sing song? Like, sing.
Well, because it was new. Like, it was new stuff.
So, should we sing psalms or hymns?
Yeah.
That was the type of stuff that the particular Baptists were dealing with in their churches. When you go back to the early church, you are going back to a place that you are being ruled by a governing authority that is pagan, that doesn't have, like, you are not a citizen. You don't have rights. And you are dealing not only with that, but then living in that and then preaching the gospel, a gospel that says Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Mind you, when you, you are going into a society that the way that you basically appease the government is you go into your local square and you take a pinch of incense and you say, Caesar is Lord.
Right.
If you are preaching a faith that said Jesus is Lord, you are going to be arrested. Yep. You are going to be looked at suspiciously when you retreat from public life, because that's how people thought that you're participating. It's a very, like, back in the ancient times of the first century and in the Roman Empire, if you were not in public, if I'm not seeing you on a regular basis, there's something shifty there.
You're up to something.
There's something shifty there, and it's almost, and it's almost like,
And all the introverts say, "Oh Lord."
It's almost like, if you can think of it, kind of like the prosperity gospel in some sorts of way, because in the ancient way of the pagan kind of Roman religion was, if you're not contributing to society, you are a stain on what the gods should bless us with. You as a Christian are not contributing to this Roman society, you are withholding a blessing from us, from the gods.
Gotcha.
In the same ways that the prosperity gospel says, just donate a tenth, just sow your seed.
Yeah, right.
They will. Right. The prosperity gospel says, if you don't donate to me, you are losing out on your blessing.
Right, right.
It's and the same dynamic.
Your faithfulness is directly correlated with the amount of your
in
works.
Which you participate. Right? Yeah,
yeah.
In which you participate.
Yeah, it's true.
There, you have to remember, like, these things are not, like, the same.
Yeah.
Like, when I talk about, like, Augustine, like, Augustine's thought process and everything, like, Augustine had to deal with, like, three different flanks of crazy people in his life. Like, he had to deal with people who were out in the North African desert, like, painting their churches white because they thought they were the true believers and everybody else can go to hell. You know? Although, that's not, like, akin to, like, the Westboro Baptists. But I mean, there's stuff like that. Like, people had to deal with, like, I just think of it sometimes in Paul's case. Like, we just finished up the book of Acts. Paul, like, literally, if Paul wasn't under guard by the Roman authorities, he could have been like hijacked by bandits on the Roman road. Like, I don't think we take, think about that too often.
Yeah. Right.
Of
right.
how dangerous it was to travel in like the first century, like era of the world.
Well, I think we have a problem as the American church of viewing everything biblically through our context.
Yeah.
Right. And like the Bible is older than America. It'll be here when America burns. Right. Like the gospel, Christianity transcends countries. It transcends, you know, lines drawn in the sand. Right. So it's a danger for us to interpret scripture through our cultural lens, because that's not how scripture is to be interpreted. It's actually the opposite. You interpret our cultural lens through scripture.
Yeah.
Scripture is the authority.
Yep.
You want to know how to think, how to act, how to maneuver this world that we live in, look to the pages of scripture.
Yep.
Don't try to shape scripture to say something or to mean something that fits your cultural narrative. Right. And we see that in the liberal church that tries to use scripture as a means to justify, you know, homosexual lifestyles or abortions or things like that. And we see that in the quote unquote conservative church as well, where people try to utilize scripture to, you know, to push this Christian nationalism stuff. Right. Or the, you know, the showing preference to Christians of your own race or your own people. Right. Scripture will always be used and twisted and abused by people who have an agenda.
Yeah.
That's how it always has been. Right. Yeah. Look back even to Simon the Sorcerer wanting to use the gifts, right? Like, show me. Right. We have many Simon the Sorcerers alive today, and they all look different, but it's all the same playbook. Yeah. They have an agenda. They want something, and they're going to utilize scripture to do it. Right. That's not what Christians do. We live sola scriptura, which means our lives are governed by the authority of the word of God. And if you are out of step with the word of God, the only option is to come back in step with it. You don't bend scripture to mean what you want it to mean, to say what you want it to say, or to make you feel the way you want it to make you feel. Mm-hmm. And harsh in 2024? Yeah. But it's true, right? And this goes with all parties. Liberal, conservative, and everything in between. Scripture has to be your authority, right? Yeah. So it's just, it's the same old things, Jack. It's the same old adages. It's the same old battles.
Old heresies.
Dude, nothing new repackaged. Under the sun. It just looks a little different, right? And it's Satan utilizing the same playbook and, you know, just putting a new coat of paint on it to make it look modern, to distract Christians and to get them off the path and to cause them to put energy and effort into something other than what they should be doing. And he's going to continue to do that until Jesus comes back. Yeah. Let's get wise and realize, like, that's what he's doing. So don't get distracted. The word of God's your authority. Live it. Right? Yeah. What was this app?
Dude.
what even was this app?
I'm sure people ask that when they listen to 3 hours of Joe Rogan or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dude.
Yeah, that's true.
We are not going to give you 3 hours.
We went from Advent talk to refugee talk to Christian nationalism talk to Stoicism to High Church, Eastern Orthodoxy. Dude, we were all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. Well, hey, you know what? Maybe people like it.
Before we leave, though,
okay,
I got to give out the, I know you usually do the intro to this, but people, we got a cigar of the week.
Okay. Are you want to do that now or do you want to save it?
I'm doing it.
You're just doing it.
I'm doing it.
Jack's hopping in. Okay.
If this is a grab bag, we're grab bagging into a cigar review right now.
Pulling out a cigar.
Don Pepin Garcia. December is for Don Pepin Garcia. Okay. Yeah. So we've been going through different cigar brands that match the first letters of the month's name.
Yeah.
Obviously, we introduced you to Don Pepin Garcia last week. And this week is honestly, to me, like another really good cigar. This has been scored consistently since about 2008, mm-hmm. a 91 or above. It currently rates at a 93 Ooh. By Cigar Aficionado. It is the Don Pepin Garcia Lancero. This was first, let me say before that, this is the tasting note. These are always funny that I have to read for Cigar Aficionado, but Lanceros, long revered by smokers of Cuban cigars, have lately become a hot size in the United States. I wouldn't say that. Cigar makers have responded with amazing thin smokes, none finer than Don Pepin Garcia, if you will. His El Rey de los Habanos factory in Miami. Let's see. He began crafting this particular Lancero back in 2003, or at least blending it, making the blend for it. It's a new size in the line. This, mind you, this cigar came out in 2009. So,
ooh.
This is still a tried and true.
Holy smokes.
What they say is an ultra sweet. So I have had this cigar before. I don't think it's very sweet. I don't know what these people are smoking, but it says this cigar is ultra sweet from the first puff, tremendously rich and flavorful. Although Don Pepin Garcia's favorite size is Robusto, Garcia excels at the Lancero format. This again is a filler binder Nicaraguan with the wrapper is Ecuadorian. That was the same as the Cuban classic last week. Okay. So there's a theme there. This was rated number 8 for the top 25 cigars of 2008.
Okay.
So good, this is him. A tried and true cigar. Josh, yes. As I ask you, mm-hmm. as always I do,
mm-hmm.
sir,
yes,
your MSRP range guess.
I'm going a little cigar. Higher on this one than last week because it has a higher rating, I believe.
Okay.
I'm giving a range. But see, Don Pepin's still known for their being good price sticks, economy level sticks. I'm going to give a range of $8 to $11.
You're kind of within the range. You're kind of out of it a little bit, though.
Okay. I'll take the L. Left. I'll take the L.
You kind of got to regroup your shot group right there.
Was I too
low? I would say, it's about 10 to 13.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to claim that one. I've been on a winning streak. But I'm not going to claim that one. I'll take the L on that one.
Anyway, go get yourself a Don Pepin Garcia Lancero. Really good. Really easily accessible. I'm sure most brick and mortars have Don Pepin Garcia. If they have my father, basically Don Pepin Garcia is like an offshoot of my father. So go get you a Don Pepin Garcia, people. Good cigars.
Well, there we go.
So,
well, Jack, you might as well just close us out, dude. You might as well take us out,
with
dude.
With that. People.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us vacillate, if you will.
I don't like that word. I don't like that because it sounds like Vaseline. I don't like vacillate.
Letting us talk about the hot button issues of the day in a little grab bag episode, you know? Yeah. Sometimes we got to change it up, you know?
It's a grab bag episode. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's nice. You're going to get? You're going to get some Podlucks after this, okay?
That's true.
So if you didn't like this episode, we're going to go on the Podlucks.
Part of the Patreon.
Yeah, if you're part of the Patreon. Josh will talk about that a little bit later. People, I know we got to get to some listener questions maybe as well, too. Maybe on a Podluck we might do that or on another episode. But if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have concerns, if you want to continue the conversation of what we just talked about in this grab bag episode, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will, the Facebook, the Metaverse. I heard a thing the other day that Facebook is blowing so much money on the Metaverse, they don't care.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Funny. Anyway, you can follow us there on the Metaverse, the Facebook, the Instagram, if you will, goes well with chocolate or marshmallow. Always a fun treat during the wintertime. Or follow us on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X. That's right. X gonna give it to you.
That's where all the fun is.
All at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors here.
All right. Well, I'll say this. I'll say this from the start. Some of you heard about the whole me getting my Facebook hacked and all that junk on Facebook. So what it has resulted in is that I have control of the Reformatory Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is still kind of on the outs. So I know. I am very frustrated about the whole thing. But if you want to get a hold of us, Facebook's probably not the best spot right now. But we have all the others that Jack talked about. So hit us up there. There's multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. We have shirts, Amazon, link in the description of this episode. We got some really cool shirts, got a cool Christmas shirt that's out right now. Still time to buy it, to get it shipped to your place. You can wear it around the house proudly and rep the podcast that way. You can like this podcast and rate this podcast on Apple and Spotify. Huge thank you to all the people that shared their Spotify raps. We had a good year on Spotify this year, Jack. We did.
I was podcast seeing some
is, of it. Podcast it is nice. Growing,
yeah,
which is huge. Praise the Lord. We had a couple people who had us in their top tens, some in the top fives, and I had one listener that reached out that said we were their number one. So I think that's pretty dope.
I just have Charles Barkley in my mind. In that, in those, are you in my five? Are you in my five? Are
you my five? Nothing but knuckleheads. So, Spotify, Apple, that'd be awesome. YouTube, head on over there, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. Last but not least, we got a Patreon. We're going to go record some Patreon apps right now for a $5 holla, $5 a month.
YouTube drip coffee.
That's it, dude.
Less than a drip coffee.
That's it.
Grande.
Yeah.
From Starbucks.
Yes.
And their coffee sucks. Let's be honest about this.
Oh, it's 100% true. Yeah, 100% true. It's not even good. It's not even good. We had a Patreon member who was a member before, left for a little bit, and then came back. Ben Smith. Ben Smith is back.
Hey.
Ben Smith's back. All right. Da, da, da. All right. So you could become like Ben. Mm. And come on back. We'll always welcome people back. All right. $5 a month. You get bonus episodes.
I got bad Catholic Church jokes written all over. Let's not do that. Sorry.
Right? But you can be like Ben. And if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of this podcast. That is our pledge to you. Jack, we've done almost an hour episode. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know. Do you prefer the episodes that, if you've made it this far, okay? Yeah. Do you prefer the episodes that have like a one topic, and that's what we're going to talk about? Or do you kind of like the more conversational Joe Rogan-esque format?
Grab bag. Yeah.
Because that's literally what
Jamie,
this was.
Jamie, bring it up.
Right? We went from one topic to the next without, like, it was nuts. Let us know if you like this, though, because if you want more episodes of Jack and I just riffing off each other and having a more of a conversational episode, I mean, we'll do it. That sounds fun to me. But we want to make sure we're giving you guys what you like. So let us know. We appreciate y'all. We'll catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.